Hello, this is Carsten Lay from Asia PMO with a new episode of Transform Your Organization. Today we have our guest, Galen Lowe, the Digital Project Manager. Hello, Galen. How are you?
Hello, I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Hi, great. Thanks for having me last time on your podcast. Highly recommended too. Can you introduce yourself to our guests quickly?
Sure. I'm Galen. I am the co-founder of an organization called the Digital Project Manager. We're a knowledge-sharing organization that helps project professionals get skilled, confident, and connected so that they can successfully deliver complex digital projects, in the modern age.
Okay, so complex digital projects. I saw that today we speak a little bit more about digital transformation, which is probably one of the most complex one which there is. So how do you see that?
Yes, I agree. And that's exactly where I was going with it is that listen, digital transformation doesn't have to be complex, but it can get complex pretty quickly. Honestly, when we were starting out, when we were looking around at the project management world, we didn't see as much that was specific to what we were doing in terms of projects that revolved around people, pixels, and code. We were all shooting from the hip trying to figure it out as we went. And we decided, you know what, that was really complicated. It was painful. And we'd rather folks not do that every time for generations. You know, we were like 20 years on from when I started. We're hearing a lot of the same stories. And I think it's a combination of understanding the complexities of digital technology, as well as understanding the mechanics of projects and project management. You don't have to be an expert in digital technology. I'm not saying that my folks all know how to code, but there's a sensibility about how technology rolls out and the impact that it has. And yeah, it can get complex for sure.
Yeah, and I think the term says it already, because on the one hand you have digital people, on the other hand you have transformation people, which probably are more business people, and they normally don't get along. And then you even have something very mean, which is the customer, who neither understands digital nor business and doesn't really care about it and just wants a solution, no matter how you call it, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
So when we look a little bit, and I know you come also more from a project management background, right? Let's speak today a little bit about we have a digital transformation coming up. How do we get our people ready for that? What skills do we need there?
Oh, that's an amazing question. Let me back up a little bit and say
Sure.
my background's in project management, a little bit of business development, don't blame me. And then I went into a few leadership roles within smaller agencies. And obviously, my current capacity, you know, I do sort of have this higher level view on the business, not just projects, but up from projects into sort of business strategy in terms of like staffing and skills and the overall approach for the business. Let me come back to your question then. So you said, what kind of skills do we need to develop? And I'm going to circle back to, I'm going to circle the wagons to my regular wagons, which is digital, right? Digital fluency, data fluency, and then I'm biased, but I would say definitely project management to kind of get things done. I think from the digital fluency, I think there's a lot of opportunities there that we leave unturned as businesses. Mostly because we're like, oh, that person, yeah, they don't really need to understand digital. They don't really need to sort of get in the weeds. That's not part of their role. We don't really need to train them up on understanding how technology could help them do their job, but also help evolve what they do in their process. Data fluency, honestly, the thing that I see the most is either they haven't got the data, an organization hasn't got the data, or they don't trust it. And especially when they have, you know, the dashboard up and they're like, yeah, but is that really the data? And they don't really fundamentally understand the data that they're gathering, and therefore they can't measure change. Or if they could measure change, they decide not to because they'd rather sort of go on gut feel. And then the project management thing is, you know, it's close to my heart, it's near and dear. But I earnestly believe that transformation doesn't happen without project management, mostly because I see a lot of organizations are doing, you know, quote unquote, digital transformation, but they're still kind of it's informal. It's localized. It's shooting from the hip. It's like micro transformation. And I'm not saying it's bad. It's not the worst thing you could do. But what I do see, and you probably see this as well, is just the notion of a project, an important initiative that kind of either stalls out or it's, you know, dead on arrival. It doesn't sort of achieve its goals quarter over quarter, and it keeps getting pushed down the line for various different reasons. And the folks who are leading that just aren't equipped. They aren't equipped with the tools to be able to take that project across the finish line and realize its outcomes, or realize that it's a project that actually should probably be dead on the table, right? Like it's like maybe we should cancel this project. We're using resources. We are not achieving our goals. You know, the vision is unclear. Why don't we shelve this for a little bit and come back to it? But that sensibility of delivery or evaluating whether or not there is value in a project and whether or not it's going to achieve its outcomes, I think I see that as a big blocker for a lot of organizations because they keep dragging this weight along, you know, these projects that aren't getting done, they aren't making progress. They don't really know what to do other than to keep going with them, right? Keep doing what we've always been doing, and hopefully it'll get done next quarter or next quarter or next fiscal or next fiscal. And I see that happen a lot, and it's nobody's fault. I think it's because the folks leading the project, usually they're not trained project managers. They don't have the title project manager. They're informal project managers. They're managing it off the side of their desk, probably, and they've never gotten the training.
I think you said something very interesting at the beginning, before we go to the project management stuff. I mean, we have a lot of business people, yeah, who are probably not trained on the digital opportunities which are out there. I mean, nowadays we speak a lot about AI. I have a lot of business friends that haven't tried AI yet. The company haven't bought a course for them. They don't have any use cases. Why should they do, right? So, and then they have, then we have this siloed IT department and maybe the programmers, where you also have the tech wizards, but they don't come together, right? I mean, this is the problem. So you have business people who understand maybe the customer better than the tech people. I'm sorry to say that. I know. Maybe it's getting better, but you have the business people, right? They understand the customer, they understand the product, and so on. But we don't expose them to tech knowledge, right? Before we go in the project management part. How would you do that? How do you see a possibility there?
I mean, I think there's so much education out there right now that there's very little excuses for organizations not to sort of create that bridge. But before I even go there, in terms of formal training, like I think you raise a really good point about there's sometimes these silos, silos of understanding, silos of capability, and really what that needs is translation. And I would say that in a lot of cases, in a project-based scenario, the best translator is sometimes the project manager, the project leader, the person who's kind of standing in between the business and the tech, and other stakeholders, usually at a sort of whatever, a 500-foot view, understanding how things are working together. And part of the role is to translate, you know, what the impact or value is of any given thing and why we need to do this or why we shouldn't do this. And sort of there is this educational role.
So
Zooming out,
it's part of the project manager role, right?
I
That
think it is. I mean,
we educate both worlds, that you probably educate the tech world more on the business side and the customer and on the business outcome, and we educate the business side more on the tech opportunities, right?
yeah, exactly. Yes. And then, I mean, zooming out of a project-based scenario, like, I think there's massive opportunities to have, especially around AI. Maybe a bit of like a community of practice, like internally or externally, but just getting these groups together, you know, the business side and the tech side and coming together around something to sort of discuss and share sensibilities. I think AI is a great opportunity to do that because it's new, you know. People may say that they're experts, but no one's quite an expert yet. The technology is changing really, really fast, and it's thought-provoking. If nothing else, it's thought-provoking to be able to say, okay, listen, what does this mean for our customers? How can we be doing business more efficiently? What does this mean for our tech stack? How can we be smarter? You know, could this result in personalization? Could this result in, you know, greater efficiencies? Could this result in more real-time data? And why, you know, why is that important? And I have experienced what you're talking about. I've been lucky to work with a lot of teams that have cross sensibility, but a lot of the cross functional teams I've worked with, they almost want that silo. It's like a comfort blanket. It's like I understand technical architecture. I understand, you know, back end development. I understand, you know, UX UI design. And you tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And I think the crossover being like, okay, but why, right? Like, what is the goal we're trying to achieve, and why is that important? You know, and a lot of it, digital transformation. You know, the projects I've worked on, the initiatives that I've worked on, Yeah, it's about like efficiency, right? It's very vague. It's like, okay, well, how can we do more with less time or less people, or how can we automate something? And that's not necessarily the vision or the goal, right? From the business side, the vision or the goal would be, yeah, we want to be able to enable growth. We want to be able to, have our people do more. We want to sort of stay competitive. We want to be able to develop something new and exciting, and not get sort of entrenched in all of the sort of admin. And I think that conversation is also germane to the AI conversation as well, because like it or not, AI is forcing a new wave of digital transformation that's a lot more pervasive. It's everywhere. It's a lot more pervasive than what I considered to be tr digital transformation before, which was, modernizing and digitizing processes and systems and infrastructure, sort of these big pillars. But AI is going to be everywhere. So, to circle back, I'd say AI is a great opportunity to create a community of practice to talk about how it's transforming the way we're working and to share sensibilities about why that's important to the customer and to the business, and what it means, what the implications are on the technology side, on the design side.
I mean, I like the idea of the community of practice, which is maybe something regular outside of projects where people create an exchange in the company, if I understand you right, right? But maybe it could be now to really kill PMI and Agile. Maybe the first phase of a project is not planning anymore or outcome related and objective definition. Maybe it's just that they all sit together, the entire project team or who is interested, to brainstorm and to exchange. Maybe we need 1 or 2 weeks exchange phase without any crazy targets, without any stakeholders pressuring us what we have to do. I don't know. What do you think about it?
I absolutely like. I'm a huge fan of that. I think, change is a funny thing. The people that you need involved in change, like you kind of need to have this sort of high level champion or high level champions, and then you need to have the tactical change agents. But it's quite specific because I bet you some of the folks listening are like, yeah, okay, so you want to sit around and just like kumbaya and talk about ideas for 2 weeks instead of actually, doing any work. And I've seen that happen, and that's not what I'm saying. I've definitely seen the wrong mix of people just spewing ideas that have zero value to the business or are just not feasible to accomplish. I would say the high level champions, they're the folks who can like rally support. They're the folks who can like rally investment and resources. They're usually in an elevated position, but I'm not saying C-suite. It could be, at a department head level. And their role is to kind of like help cast a vision, not the solution, but like what does success look like, right? What are the desired outcomes? And ideally, they're not like prescriptive people, because I've seen that happen too, right? C-suite comes in, they're like, here's exactly how I want to have it done. Here's your idea. I gave it to you. Figure it out. That's not exactly the same. But these high-level champions, their goal should be to be leaders, not micromanagers, and probably not like the tinkerers who want to like do it themselves because it's exciting. AI is bringing that out a lot. I see a lot of executives who want to vibe code. So they're going to vibe code, but it probably isn't the best use of their time when they have a team that can probably code or vibe code. The other side is the tactical agents, and I think the tactical agents are usually folks who are a bit closer to the work. They understand how the sausage is made, but they also like have a pretty firm grasp of the bigger picture. So they've like decided, they've made that decision to not stay in their silo and not say, okay, that's not my problem. Profitability is not my problem, right? Staffing is not my problem. Operational strategy is not my problem. They've kind of zoomed out a little bit. So they understand it, they speak the language, and they kind of care. And they're the kind of person who has ideas, is good at their job, but also somebody who can like earn trust through storytelling, I guess I would say. Like in a way that people kind of understand what they're saying, in a language that people understand, I guess I should say. Usually they're like sort of likable people, they're capable, and they have ideas for transforming the work, not just augmenting it or automating it, but they kind of want to like rethink the way a job is done to achieve a goal. When you put that mix of people together, like high level champions and some like tactical change agents, like that's where the magic happens. That's where it stops becoming a bunch of people in a room, just writing ideas on a whiteboard and hoping for the best, and it becomes a sort of more connected, de-siloed idea that can become a strategy. And I think that's the main thing, that it's not just, wow, what a great idea. The technology allows this. We should do it. I see that a lot. It connects it to the why, right? Why is that important? And then how are we going to get there? How are we going to edge out the competition? How are we going to get everyone on board? And how are we going to measure, right? Coming back to that data fluency thing, like, how are we going to do something and measure change iteratively, right? To your point, maybe it's not like the big sort of waterfall project where the first stage is deep, deep planning. Maybe like I know some organizations, they only have like projects that are 7 weeks, like 7, 8 weeks at a time, just to kind of get to a result, start measuring, and I guess fits within a quarter. But knowing that things are changing so fast that you couldn't plan. Yes, there's like the agile folks as well, like maybe 2 week, 4 week sprints. I get that as well, but I like the idea that you can have a loose plan, an adaptable plan, that you come together about knowing it's going to change, and not sort of overpromising around the plan, but having a roadmap to get to where you need to get to in shorter increments that are still connected to the business and the business goals and measuring those goals.
Yeah, and you said at the beginning also that once we know what we want, or we have some ideas, and maybe the stakeholders also approve the strategy or some of the targets or some of the ideas we had, we need a project manager, right? And the project manager previously was, like you said, more the translator, a lot of coordination, communication. But now you said something very interesting that we need outcome skills, somebody who drives outcomes. And like you said, companies, customers are very impatient. There's no such thing anymore like a 2 or 5 year project. It's now down to 4 weeks, 7 weeks, 1 quarter. Yeah. And that's it. Okay. So we need these outcome skills and bringing it together and reminding, maybe even pushing the teams on outcome rather than just tinkering. So where does the skill come from? How do we develop that nowadays?
That's a really good question. And I will say, like, from a project management standpoint, it's a relatively new concept. A lot of folks are like, okay, project management means delivering on time, on budget, within scope, job done. And there's been a broader culture shift, especially coming from folks like the Project Management Institute, PMI, where it is more about outcomes and driving outcomes. But I think where a lot of folks get stuck is that some of us project managers, we're guns for hire. We're in and out. As soon as the project ends, we find another one, or we're put on another one, or we move on. And as a result, a lot of folks in my community are like, "Well, we're not around. We're not around to measure and see if there was the right impact or not. How could that possibly be how we're measured, right?" And I think that's a bit of a it's a very good point, and it's a good conversation to have, I guess. Like, how much can an individual, usually at the middle level with no formal authority over the teams that they are orchestrating or managing, how can they sort of be responsible for impact and outcomes? But overall, I would say this. I would say it is the role now of the project leader to understand the outcome and hold everyone accountable in that direction, whether or not they're around to measure it, 2 quarters after the launch, it's not always possible. But I think being able to keep everyone focused on what the result is, not what we're delivering, not the output, but to your point, the outcome, the business outcome of, what does success look like? Like, what will it look like? What are we able to do once we finish this project? What does it unlock? And why is that important? And really just being the champion of that vision, not the box ticking, because I see that a lot. Well, we got to deliver this deliverable. So, like, let's just get it done, put it through ChatGPT, and then I'll send it, like, just let's be done with it. I think that's not good enough anymore. I think it needs to be somebody making sure that the tasks, that the activities actually do have something to do with the outcome and add value towards the outcome. That's pretty abstract, but I mean, maybe we can go through some
No,
examples.
I understand it. I mean, the outcome is normally what we call a little bit a post-project phase. So how we mitigate it in some banks or in some e-commerce client is that a project team at least is on board for, let's say, 4 to 8 post-implementation period. So you measure the first customer feedback, you measure the first feedback from the users, you measure if the process is working. So you're not directly on the launch milestone of the project. So this is one thing. The other thing is also you can phase people out, right? I mean, this is a little bit of budget thing. Project managers maybe not so long, but people inside the project team, they are normally phased out in the handover period, right? So it's not only that there is a hard cut, right? The only thing I'm a little bit worried about is that when I look in all these project management and agile methodologies and all the certification stuff we have around, which I also took, I don't see really these outcome thinking there, right? I mean, in the education part, in the skills part. So if I'm a normal manager in a department which runs by KPIs, right? I mean, just sales numbers or finance numbers, right? How will I suddenly be able to get real outcome of a project, of a new implementation, or something much more complex? How do you see that?
I mean, it's a good question. And I think my zoomed out answer is that, like, being able to talk in terms of outcomes and see things in terms of outcomes, like, it is a skill. It sounds easy, but it's not as easy as it looks. And I'd argue that, well, I mean, I would suspect that a lot of folks in the project management world are like, yeah, that becomes a business thing, right? To understand a business outcome that's going to be related to your vertical. You mentioned, organizations in financial services or, healthcare or product is going to have different measures. But like, honestly, for me, like, the best things have been like, my background is sort of in human-centered design. We are for the user. And some of the things that you mentioned, some of the metrics that you mentioned, are really good indicators, right? Like customer satisfaction or NPS. I think like cycle time for a task to get done. And they seem like micrometrics, and they seem like, I don't know, very like overwatchy, right? Especially in, for example, call center transformation, for example, or contact center, where, yeah, we're trying to reduce the number of calls hitting a human agent. And everyone goes, oh, okay, yeah, you just want to, fire us all. Like, you want to have smaller staff. And that might be part of it. But also, are we delivering service to the customer in a way that meets their need? Maybe they didn't want to talk to an agent. I'm that person, right? Like, I'm like, please, tell me, like, what form or chatbot to go to ask my question so that I don't really have to have this, like, conversation that usually stretches over like 15 minutes, because I know that agent is taking 4 to 7 chats or calls at the same time. And it's not a very good experience for me, right? And so when you kind of zoom out and you go, okay, well, what are we trying to do? We're trying to create a better user experience. We're trying to, yes, retain a customer. And yes, we are trying to be competitive, but also we're trying to deliver value. And how do we measure the value that we're delivering? And it might be a accumulation of like different metrics, right? Like, I think contact center is a really interesting one for me, to be honest, because it's like, we want things to be efficient. We want people to do the things that they love, to be able to take pride in their job, right? As a contact center agent, to deliver value to the business. And yeah, that means not getting stuck on the phone for too long. And that means not trying to do too much all at the same time and do all of those things poorly. It means having other channels available for our customers to self-serve, to be able to choose the experience they want and to cross that experience over, so that if they do decide to pick up the phone and call, then we already know. We don't have to waste any time knowing where they've been before. We're able to sort of continue the experience, not start a new one. And I think, like, then you're talking about things like, okay, yeah, call time or, call length, and like, did we manage to sort of solve the problem during that call? And yeah, they seem like very mechanical, please do your job performance metrics, but they do add up to transformation in my world, because we've we've looked beyond what we've always done. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? It's like, okay, well, we've always had contact centers around the world with, this structure, and it will never be different. And then something like the pandemic came around, the COVID-19 pandemic, and challenged all of those things to be like, okay, well, do they need to be in the contact center? Do we need to be co-located? Can they be remote? The answer in most cases was yes. And then, like, AI is the sort of next foray. Not to say that it hasn't been continuous, but AI is forcing the question again of like, okay, well, we've been working on chatbots for the better part of a decade, at least from where I stand. Now AI is here doing intense natural language processing in real time. It's delivering a great experience. And is it going to be the human experience? No, probably not. But can it be part of the conversation? Can it be part of the chain? Can it be part of the experience? Absolutely. With the right sort of thoughts, you have that community of practice of like, how might we leverage this technology, this channel to kind of stitch things together? We noticed in our data that more people are coming to our website, less people are calling. Okay, what can we do there? How can we serve that? And just not being satisfied with status quo, I think is. That's the most interesting bit about the transformation thing. And I think it's the most interesting bit that gives meaning to some of the metrics that you might be tracking.
And I think a very, very interesting thought at the end of our podcast would be that when you have a project, even if it's only 7 or 8 weeks long, you can already start to work on the different metrics from week one. You don't have to, like in an old style waterfall project, wait until week 8 or week 12 or 6 months to measure are you successful or not. So you could immediately see with the first implementation, with the first coding, with the first new tools, if you shorten the calls, if customers are more happy about, if they're unhappy and you have to do something differently. So I think what you mentioned is very important to measure as early as possible during the project, right? And as early as possible, have this outcome measurement drive inside. Yeah. Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that
Absolutely.
makes very sense. Okay. Take
And,
Galen.
to put in a quick plug there, we do have a course. It's called Mastering Digital Project Management. It's exactly that. It's knowing that we are in a digital project, we're working in people, pixels, and code. We can measure things as we go, and we can start that conversation very early. Yeah, if your listeners are interested, check it out, the
Sure,
digital project management.com.
we will add your link into the recording. Yeah, no problem.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for being here. Thanks,
Thank
Galen.
you for having me. I really
Yeah,
appreciate it, Carsten.
so this was another episode of Asia PMO, Transform Your Organization, today about how to develop the right skills for digital transformation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.